Well, hello everybody. For those that don't know me, sorry, my name's Greg Novan. I'm from the City of Ryde, and I'm here today just to share a bit about our journey of implementing an EDRMS. I say journey because it never really ends. For those of you that have actually probably started this, would understand what I'm talking about. Basically, what I've put up here is a bit of an overview of what I really think that we've been trying to do, what we've called eTrim. Basically, it's involved putting all the pieces together, just like a jigsaw puzzle, to improve the way information is captured, managed, and preserved. And this has meant getting an understanding of the business and identifying the processes and workflows for improved collaboration and compliance by maximizing the people, processes, and technologies that we have. So rather than going out and investing in training or new technology, let's have a look at what we've got and see what it can actually do for us before we do that. So just as a bit of a brief introduction to Ryde, there's around about 600 plus staff. There's about 300 internal staff. My team is a very small team. There's seven staff, which includes me, and we've just recently also managed to get a trainee. Now that was back in the paper days, and not much has changed since we've implemented EDRMS, despite our call that we need more and more staff. So what we've done is we've gotten a little bit smarter in trying to educate all the staff and council to play their part, which had some challenges. The EARN program and eTrim started really in about 2003, where we implemented a new information and records management program, basically just to improve the way paper record keeping was happening. Then in late 2005, early 2006, despite my best advice to management above me, they decided they wanted to implement EDRMS because it seemed like the latest thing to do. I felt that we weren't quite ready for this, but they decided to do it anyway. Now, that also coincided with an upgrade in TRIM, which is our record keeping system. Then in 2007, Linda Shave, I don't know if anybody's heard of her, joined us at council as a consultant for another program and has been with us since. Now, she came to us and helped with implementing a case management approach, which has really revolutionized what we've done to date. And that's probably what I'm going to talk mainly about today. This is also includes scanning to all business processes. And those of you that work in local government would understand that DA stands for Development Applications, which is basically if you want to build a house or something, you've got to submit it to council, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we do full scanning, full color scanning, from A0 size plans, everything, a whole lot. If anyone would like to know more about that, please get in touch with me, and we're most welcome for you guys to come out and have a visit. So, some of the challenges that we found early on is basically how ready is your business for scanning? What types of equipment will you be looking for? We've recently rolled out a whole heap of multifunctional devices from Fuji Xerox, which met our scanning needs. That was based on the volumes of scanning that we might be looking at, the types of areas that would need to do scanning. We also needed the ability for full text searchable or OCR'd PDF documents, which obviously is for long-term preservation and also for usability and e-discovery and things like that. Also, we decided on that because their color replication was quite good. And we've thought of that for a true and accurate replication of what was the original record. Day boxing. How ready is your organization for no physical folders? That's a very strange concept for people to get their head around. It's now inside that little box. We still have people that can't get their heads around that, and they still, argue black and blue, "No, I need a folder." And we keep coming back to them. And luckily, we've got the support right from the top, from our general manager, right down through the group managers and managers. And it's slowly after, what has it been now, 2, almost 3 years, the message is starting to come through. You are not going to get a paper file anymore. Although I'm sure they're still creating their own somewhere online. But we also realize that some of them do have a specific need for paper folders. For example, we mentioned earlier about DAs. we still do have a DA paper folder, but they understand that by having that, anything they put on there, they have to also go and capture electronically, because the digital version of that record is our record. That's it. That paper one is for working purposes only. Okay. So we also had to train them in day boxing. So when they do get something, a lot of them now run around and they scan it in, they register it into TRIM and then put that little paper into the box. So they're learning. Digital signatures or e-signatures and e-stamps. We're still grappling with that one. I guess it's an organisational-wide problem, because we know what we want from our point of view, but the organisation just is not ready yet. They still love the old pen and paper and think that that carries the weight of evidence. And we're slowly getting there, but you know, transition them into thinking, well, no, that's not the only way things are done. Think about it. It actually started its life as a Word document before you printed it out. And they're starting to, you know, get their heads around some of these issues. Collaboration using eReglets. That's probably one of our selling points, is that because it's all electronic now, there is greater opportunities to move things around the organisation, share things with each other. And that's probably where we've gained a lot of improvements, because, for example, when something used to come into council, by the time we got it into the system, onto a paper file, moved it to the various business units, and the next person dealt with it, and so forth and so on, it could take weeks before, you know, one piece of correspondence went around the building. We can now shoot that piece of correspondence out to three or four people at the same time and have them working on it right there and then. So we've gained some productivity there. The culture part, is the organisation ready? Cultural change management, which I think is the topic of the next speaker, I won't delve on too much, but we've had some ups and downs, but overall I would rate it as we've had very little arguments. Most people have been pretty keen to adopt electronic record keeping. They don't like keeping their paper. They're starting to get fed up with it. And as we get more and more younger people through the organisation, they live and breathe text messages, you know, mobile phones. They think, what's this paper stuff? They just don't want it anymore. Also consider who or what is driving the change. Try and get in there and find out what exactly are they looking for some of the things. Explain what is needed from our point of view. So sometimes they'll come back at us and say, well, that just doesn't work in my situation. And you go, well, why? And sometimes they just cannot give you a good enough reason. So training and education, that was one of big aspects of our program. And it's factored into everything that we do. We think of a solution, we go out and train, we think of a solution, we talk to the people, we make sure to work, test it out in theory, implement it, train them, and this is just an ongoing thing, never changed. And of course, from that, you build your policies and procedures, okay, around your processes. Now, the eReady challenges for our back office. Now, I say back office because this presentation was originally geared, I guess, towards an audience that wasn't a room full of record keepers. So this is basically our records management team, or information and records management team. Preparation and scanning, yeah, the quality assurance process, the registration, that had all changed now. These guys were required now to have a greater degree of skills in these areas, which they never had before. So we had to educate, mentor, and then support our team members all the way along, prepare them, equip them with new skills so they can promote these changes as well, which is probably a little bit further down with the problem solving and training aspect of it. Case management approach was something fairly new to them. They were used to having, you know, a paper folder and the users just put whatever they liked in there. Now these guys were beginning to have to think, how will I title that? What classification will I put on that? What security needs are there? They've had to start to now ask more and more questions of the users. E-archiving, which was just the topic before, and it's something that we're looking at very closely, our preservation, retention, and disposal. And you're right, the game has changed. Okay, what used to work in the paper environment you've got a whole new kettle of fish. We've got to get out there and look at the data within some of these systems because they are records. We can't just simply say, well, we don't know about them. Yeah. The old print and file on paper, it's slowly disappearing. Also, as I said, we had to equip our EARN team as problem solvers. We had to get them thinking of solutions rather than saying, oh, I just don't know. So rather than being in the back office, they are now very much out there in the front line. They get in there with the business, they talk to them, they get involved in their processes, trying to problem solve things. And if they can't handle them, of course, then they call us in. And always keep them briefed on matters so they are comfortable with what's happening, so they can then promote that record-keeping culture to the rest of the organisation. And it's always ongoing reviewing and enforcing sometimes. Because as I said, there are people that we find that still, no matter what you say to them, love to print it out and keep it in fold. And we have to say, we want to know about those. If you need to do that, let us know why. And you'll find that some of it has been, for example, they just simply have to go off-site. They can't take all that information in an electronic format. So we've had to look at PDAs and tablet technology and things like that, so that they don't need to do that. And they're loving it because they're getting a new toy to play with. So they're happy. And it's also meeting our needs, whereas we're relying more and more on that digital record. So I guess the eTrim program vision, in a nutshell, has been to focus on the ongoing establishment of a case management approach for the delivery of an enterprise solution for improving operational efficiencies by providing a single view to information assets. So we're just trying to get as much as we can in there so that there's that single view of it, or at least identify where it is. We're also looking at later on is technology so that we can have a view that'll sit across all our systems, which I'll talk a bit more in later. This is so that it's making the information more accessible for sharing across all business units and also identified agencies. We've identified that some of our larger companies that submit development applications, for example, or even some of the ones that are more compliant developing, we're looking at how can they submit that information straight across the internet without having to come into council. Okay? And there'll be some greater improvements there. We've already spoken to some places, Bovis, Lendlease, and things like that, some of the larger places, trying to get some feedback and ideas of how we can achieve this. We're definitely attempting to make life easier, despite what some people might think about record keeping, to share information both internally and externally. We've also implemented an ERM, which is Information Records Management and Archiving Policy, that outlines the importance of preserving those information assets. Also, we've been setting up internal practices to record why anything has been removed from the system and who authorised it. Going back to that point on metadata though, we don't actually delete it. We leave that metadata there, but we actually might remove the electronic document that was attached to it. And then we also get a note put on the file saying why, etc., etc. When I say note, I'm talking about electronic note. We're also aiming to reduce the use of network drives, and from that point we'd like to look at, they have to then put a business case in to justify why they need a new network drive or folder in the first place. Okay, so we're working very closely with our IT department, but we've definitely made the distinction between IT and records. Okay, a very clear distinction there. I'm not trying to confuse the two. So basically eTrim, which is basically the vanilla trim, which we've customized quite heavily. Has been designed and built purely by the information and records management team. Okay. For the business, by working with the business to identify their function, activities, tasks, inputs, outputs, and how they need to capture and use their information to meet their day-to-day operational needs, but also what sort of compliance needs are there. Okay. As I said, there's been very little IT involvement except to make sure that our software is up and running, and there's been backups and things like that done, and then the rest of it's over to us to take care of. So we're the front line contact between that business and the IT side of it in a lot of ways. Okay. As I said, another one of the goals that we had was we wanted to minimise the change management aspects or impacts. And we did this by adopting a lot of best practice business models, value chains, business processes and workflows for improved collaboration and accelerated user adoption. As I said before, there's been very little change management issues in implementing it because we've got in there right at the start and worked with them. So by the time we gave them their little case management folder structure, they already knew what all those folders were about and they were off and running with it. In actual fact, we actually got the folders into trim in one part of the organisation. And by the time we'd finished doing that and we were going to train them next week, they'd come in over the weekend and were putting all this stuff into their folders. So we didn't have to really change them. They knew what it was all about and they were in there and using it. We didn't have to encourage them at all. They're actually now screaming out for more and more features, which unfortunately there's not many of us and we just don't have the time to get out there and get to them. So the objective is really, as I say, just to, I guess, to reiterate some of those. It was to build a solution for the capture, management, and preservation of digital records in a system that the business would use. Build processes and workflows for improved efficiencies. Make information and knowledge more accessible to our people. Nothing more frustrating than running around and finding a document and saying, well, actually, is this the right version? I mean, how many people have done that? It just frustrates me to no end. And just to provide the right information at the right time in order to support customer services excellence. And this can be anything from a straightforward inquiry to an FOI application. And as I said, we're aiming for that one single view to all our information assets, but we need to know where they are to start off. So, to meet that objectives, just to give you a bit of a graphic of what we're trying to do, we had to better understand the business and customer needs in establishing a business model that included information and records management that reached across the boundaries. So basically our whole EARN program and eTrim has included things as training and education in both why records are important and what compliance requirements do they need to meet, plus training and how to use it. We've been examining and reducing information silos and looking for improvements to customer interactions by integrating these systems, or at least trying to make people understand that what they do has an impact on other staff. The TRIN system integration with all core systems has been mandatory. So we just recently went through a review of our core systems for financials and asset management and things like that, and they all had to integrate with TRIN so that the records that are in those can come across into TRIM without us having to fight and squabble or find other ways of getting it out of those systems. So as an example, in the old world, if you look at the yellow box there, inside it you've got your CRM, your customer services, your human resources. They can all have systems. For example, Technology One, which gives you financial system and your procurement side of things. They were all managed in silo. There was no real looking at how does what I do in there collaborate with something else that somebody's doing elsewhere. And a good example is, well, then at the end of it, their records, where are they? You know. So we've also looked at the business processes and workflows across all of those, trying to break them down and bring out some of that information and kick off automatic workflows and things like that so that they don't have to think. They just do their part and the next part kicks off. But wrapped around all of that, I guess you could say, is our whole information and records management program. So they don't have to think about that either. It's there in the background. Okay? It just happens and they go on doing their jobs. So as I mentioned earlier, one of our first things that we had to do when we went down this path was look at scanning. That's just an example of our scanning to date, just for a simple lodgement of a DA application or any piece of correspondence, really. I know it's a bit busy and probably a bit hard to see, but in a nutshell, basically, if you look over here on the left-hand side, you've got your e-lodgement box. Well, that can be for your DA. It can come through to customer services via workflows, and then it can go back out into another customer, which is an internal customer, by the way, not external customer. They can process it and also put bits and pieces back into the system. The pink area on the side is more record keeping, and we deal with that when it's a paper lodgement, things like that. So currently we're using a variety of scanners. We have a large format scanner, we have our multifunctional devices, and also a flatbed scanner for some things that we don't really use much anymore, but we put it in there, it looks good. There's also our document titling and also quality assurance checking to make sure that that image is spot on. Okay? The color is there and everything came across correctly. The little dotted line down the bottom here is what we'd like to see for our future state. And these Fuji Xerox devices that we've got, we've been working with them to look at direct scanning straight into trim. So the user can walk up to the device, put their document in, type in the record that they want to put it into or search for it, hit go, give it a quick title, and in it goes. Now that's going to, once again, instead of revolutionize how they actually do their jobs. The other side of it is, as well, they could be, we have some areas that are off-site from our main building. They could be coming to a meeting. They could walk in to the building, go, oh, I forgot my report. I know it's in trim. Go log into the device, find it, print it out, there and then on the spot. As I said, that's fairly new technology. Unfortunately, we've had to put that on hold for testing because of so many other issues that we're trying to catch up with our overall program. But if it can come in place, it'll be great because the multifunctional devices also have XML capabilities, so we can actually then extract and move data around between systems and things like that, possibly between agencies. It's just it's opening up a whole new world for us, and it's quite exciting. But if you ever thought of scanning, of just walking up, putting a piece of paper in and scanning it, think again. Okay, that's the main, I guess, message in that slide, is that it can be quite complex. Underneath all that, of course, is more and more. That's just the overview of it. Another example of what we do for our workflow modeling and things like that, we look at the whole process. And once again, this is just the broad overview of the process. Underneath each of these is more in-depth analysis of what that process entails. This is just an example of when an employee resigns, what happens. So we get the termination. We receive it. We discuss it with the employee if we want. Sometimes we don't. We just say, okay, we'll accept that. Depends on the employee. Then we go, and okay, what else does that kick off? Well, it kicks off, we've now got to get an authorization to recruit, etc., etc. So there's inputs. Some of those might be in hard copy, so we've got to scan them in. Okay, that goes into trim. It can kick off a workflow to the manager. Do they approve it? Yes, no. Is it approved? And it can go around in a loop until it's done. And then, then it comes back through trim. Group manager says, yep, I'm fine with that. Workflows it off. And then down the bottom here, there's an output. So then that output then triggers off another whole process or workflow, which once again touches trim here, here, and here, and the devices can be used at various points along the way. We've had to do all this sort of modeling just to understand the business and break each process down into where's its inputs, its outputs, what do they generate, does that output generate something else, the inputs, how else can it be reused and things like that. And then eventually it all comes out. It can be published to the internet. We're looking at ways we can now improve some of that that's happening in a manual process. So how can we now, with our technology, et cetera, improve that? And of course, continuing on for that, once we get the applications, what happens? There you go. That's just the broad overview. It shows you just exactly how complex this can get. So don't think that going and implementing an EDRMS is a simple thing. I won't touch too much on that. We're running out of time. So basically, the information and records management challenges that we see for the future, well, there's a lot of them. Because as we've started this journey, we've realized there's more and more that we've got to do. It's never ending. And I don't think it ever will. Because our lovely friends here at State Records keep, adding new things in. And we love them for that, actually. Because it helps strengthen our arguments. So basically, we're building, I should say, building upon an already existing information management framework that does include information life cycle management for both core technology systems, so data. Don't care whether it's in paper or whatever, it's data. and digital records and archiving, retention and disposal schedules. Metadata, which was mentioned previously. IP, so you know, the intellectual property, who really owns that? And also the long-term preservation. So they're all things that we're looking at and considering right now. As I said, we're looking at integration and interoperability. So we're trying to move more away from integration into true interoperability. So once again, getting away from this dependency on what's written in code for this to talk to this. We're trying to get away from that because they're too easily broken. As soon as you get an update in software on one product, bang, that integration could be broken. It's that easy. So we're looking at ways that we can now move things around without having to do that, such as XML and things like that. Information security and privacy, that's a big one. When you go into this digital record keeping world, it used to be so easy to secure that paper folder, wasn't it? That's not so easy anymore. Okay. Who has rights to see what? Don't forget about your IT people. They have rights to see so much on the network drive. So, information sharing, basically, collaboration. We'd like to see more and more of that because we can see the potential there for improvements. We've also, basically all the above, has been flipped around into a new term of virtual information management, which is basically everything that we've been talking about today. Another challenge that we're facing is our resourcing, succession planning. What happens if the guys that we've heavily trained and got up to speed now walk out that door? It's not a pretty picture if it happens. So we're looking at ways we can retain the staff. Unfortunately, being a cash-poor local government, it's not easy. Mind you, we just have joke days and things like that and try and keep them entertained. So unfortunately, I'm mic'd up, so I can't show you any little tricks that I do. So we're looking at transitioning from information and records management being confused with the technology. It's not just about TRIM. It's not just about the technology. And most people then confuse us with IT. It's amazing when you say, I work in records. Oh, you work in IT? No, sorry. I don't. So we're showing that we're evolving more into a role that is seen as critical to the enterprise as a custodian of the information assets that will continue to support compliance and sustainability for the future. Much the same as finance. You wouldn't let finance be run by people that are not skilled, etc.